and make an effort to touch God, He said He would draw near to you. He's not going to move first. You have to move first. You have to find a place and a presence that welcomes Him. And then you have to make that effort. You have to reach out and touch Him. Amen? There is nobody in heaven but Him that I want to make contact with. There's nobody on earth that can satisfy the hunger that's in my heart. Nobody. Not even my wife. That hunger can only be filled by my Heavenly Father, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. But I have to reach out. Just like the woman with the issue of the blood, she had to reach out and take what she wanted. Amen? If you were there last night, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? And it's the same way when you want to get into His presence. He's not going to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, I want a fellowship with you. You're going to have to put yourself in a position that welcomes Him. You're going to have to put yourself in a place where nothing else matters but Him and His presence. And that's different for every person. For me, I can just go in my little room and I can open the Bible, His Word, or I can put on some praise and worship music. And I like to put it in headsets because then nothing bothers me. Amen? Because I can crank it up. And then all I hear is that praise and worship. Sometimes it's so good that my wife comes from her room and says, would you turn that down? And I've got the headsets on. Because that's how I get in His presence. I drowned out everything else. Amen? And that's what we need to do. That's what praise and worship is all about. That's why we get up and do the praise and worship like we do. And sometimes we do more songs than others because it just seems to take longer to get the things of the world out of here. Amen? And sometimes I don't think there's times I don't think that the things of the world ever all leave the room. And that quenches the anointing somewhat. Amen? We need to get all of the things of the world out of our minds, out of our spirit man, out of our soul, and out of the room so that God can come and do what He wants to do in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah?
Glory to God. Let me start out by reading you a couple verses tonight. If you want to follow me, I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given to us by God, actually been given freely to us by God. Amen? And I believe that one of the things He's given us is that we might see, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I think one of the things that He's prepared for us that we haven't seen yet is that knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling the earth. And what that represents is His kingdom here on earth. Amen? A while back, I don't know, a month or so ago, I did a teaching on the coming glory. And then, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, I followed it up with a teaching on kingdom potential. And tonight I want to talk about the coming kingdom age or the shift to the kingdom, whatever you want to call it. Because God is currently preparing His church for what's to come. And it's really what should be here already. Amen. In previous teaching, that one of that first previous teaching on the coming glory, I made some statements that I felt that previous revivals that we've all heard about, like Azusa Street and Brownsville down in Florida, the Toronto Blessing at the airport, I said that I felt those had been cut short by man's intervention and his control through his religious thoughts and through the organizations that he was part of. I believe those revivals were intended to begin the coming of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord over the whole earth, and that they should have continued until they spread over the entire earth. But you don't hear anything about any of them anymore because they've been shut down. And if you go back and do a little research, you'll find that the one at Azusa Street was actually shut down by the man that started it. I mean, it doesn't say that, but when you read what happened, he began to control and manipulate who was doing what in his services. Who was allowed to speak and who was allowed to teach instead of what the Spirit wanted to do. Amen? And I believe that that control and manipulation is what shuts down the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But God wants to see it cover the whole earth. Amen? And so we've got, in order for that last great revival, and that's what it is, the last great revival to happen, we're going to have to get our hearts purged of all religion, religious doctrines, doctrines of men, doctrines of demons. Yes, we have them in our minds and souls, whether you believe it or not. Amen. And we've got to get completely purged of that. We have to become a people that is totally yielded to the Spirit of God. Totally. Whatever He wants. We have to get so yielded that when the Spirit begins to move, we naturally flow with it without thinking about it. Amen? When we do that, when we get to that point where we will flow naturally with the Spirit of God, we begin to help God move His plan and His will into the earth for us. And we begin to push aside those things that we wanted to do or that we wanted to happen. God could care less, really, about what you want to do and what you want to happen unless it lines up with His will and His plan for you. And until He's shown you that it does, you shouldn't be progressing it. Amen? We have to get to the point where we get before the Lord on a daily basis. I love what Lynette said about prayer. We have to get before the Lord on a daily basis with a humble, yielded heart. And we need to pray, not only for the revival, not only for our nation, but for all the nations of the world, that they would see the coming of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth. Some of those nations out there don't know how to pray for themselves. They need us praying for them. Amen? But it needs to start with you. It needs to start with you praying for yourself to understand and to see the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And then begin to pray for our own nation. Our own nation is in a downhill slide right now in morals and in spiritual things. If you don't believe me, just look at the news. Amen? Well, there are people out there. You can have an anointing. You can have a calling on your life. And you can be anointed of the Lord to do what He's called you to do. But you can not have your heart yielded to what He's calling you to do. And what happens then is you grieve the Holy Spirit, and He can't flow through you the way He wants to. And instead of becoming a river, you become a dam. It comes down and stops at you. Amen? God intends to pour out His Spirit throughout the whole earth, but He has to do it through us. Through each and every one of us. He needs each and every one of His people as yielded vessels. Because in order to get it throughout the earth, throughout all the nations, He has to do it through what He has on earth. And what does He have on earth? Us. Amen? He's right now wanting to transform and prepare His church for that very move. If we will hear from Him, if we will listen to Him, if we'll do what He's called us to do. He wants to prepare us, but we need to allow Him, first of all, to come and make the changes necessary in our hearts. We can't make those changes. You may think you can, but you can't. All you can do is yield yourself to Him and His Holy Spirit. Let His Holy Spirit come and work and make those changes. And when you've done that, when you've yielded your heart totally to Him, when you've truly said with true commitment, Lord, whatever You want me to do, wherever You want me to go, whatever You want me to say, He will come. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm going to clarify that because people take that scripture and use it wrong, I believe. When it says He will give you the desires of your heart, it doesn't mean He's going to give you what you want. It means He's going to place in your heart His desires for you and your plan, His plan for you and your life. And then they become the desires of your heart. We've used that scripture wrong for many years to try to get what we want. And He's made it very plain to me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's what the scripture says. No. He says, I will put My desires in your heart and they will be what you will desire. And that's what we have to allow Him to do. Amen? Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Awesome set of scriptures here. We've all heard them, but I'm gonna go through them again. Mark chapter 4, verse 13, parable of the sower. And He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18, now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept or receive it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And I took you through those verses because over the last few months, as I was preparing for retirement from my full-time job, I began to experience more personal attacks and issues than I had seen in a long time. Not only on myself, but on my wife, on my family, my natural family, even though they're clear back in Michigan, most of them. And I didn't understand it. And then I realized it was intended to bring discouragement and anxiety upon me. It was designed to make me tired and make me weary so that my soul wouldn't pay attention to what God wanted me to do. Amen? It was designed to make me give up on what God had planned for me to do. And I began to wonder, is it really worth it? Am I really called to do what I think God's called me to do? Or should I stay working and just support my family for this life? And you know, I even began to think, well, maybe I've already run my part of the race. Maybe I should just step aside and let the younger generation take over. And you go, you're looking at me like you can't believe I was thinking those things. But you know, I'm human, just like everybody else. I may have a call in my life, but I'm human. And just recently, I believe it was because I had stepped up the amount of time I was going to be given to the Father. I believe it was because I was starting to set aside things of the natural. And in fact, I know that's why it was. And then recently we began to experience more of God's love in our services, especially on Wednesday night. And during that time, He began to deal with me and to speak to me. And He began to show me that what was going on in my life wasn't just me. It was a part of a bigger picture that all of the brethren experience at some time or another, especially those that are called into the ministry, into the full-time ministry. And He showed me that, you know, I had begun to rely on the natural more than I was relying on Him. And He began to show me the times when I had relied on Him and disregarded the natural and what had happened. And He goes, "Have you forgotten those times? Have you forgotten how I took care of you?" He even took me to a point in my life when I wasn't even a Christian yet and showed me how He took care of my family. Amen? And it really, it began to grieve me because I knew that I was grieving the Holy Spirit of my Father. And then He said, actually He asked, He didn't say. He said, "Are you going to let the devil steal my time from you? Are you going to just sit back and give this time to Him the way you've been doing? Or are you going to take it back?" And He said, "The way you take it back is you press in. If you think you're pressing in now," He said, "you press in twice as hard. You spend more time with me." And I'll tell you what. Retirement came and gone. We were believing for a certain amount. I was believing one amount. My wife was believing another. And God seen to it that it was right in the middle of what we were believing for. That means that all our needs are met. He's taken care of us. Amen. I don't have to worry. It's all taken care of. All I got to do is press into Him. Amen. But see, I let those cares of the world begin to steal the word from me, begin to steal the time from me. And you may not have seen it, but He did. He sees all. And He began to deal with me about it. And see, I listened to Him. I let Him deal with me. And that's what he has to be able to do with each and every one of us, in order that you'll have a yielded heart, so that when the time comes and He wants to pour out His Spirit through you somewhere, you'll listen to Him. Because I'm going to tell you, He may tell you to do some crazy things sometimes in the craziest of places. And you need to know that it's Him, because it's for a reason if He does it. Somebody has tested Him, basically. And He's going to use you to save them. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. You know, I'm not going to let the devil steal his time. If I have to lock myself in my room and keep my wife out even. Amen? And it can be some of the strange. It can be tending your garden even. He even spoke to me about that. You spend too much time out there. He says, "Leave them alone. I'll make them grow for you." Yes, Lord, I hear you. Mark chapter 6, or Matthew chapter 6, rather. Let's look at verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Well, why did I take you to the Lord's Prayer? Isn't that what the way He told His disciples to pray? Isn't that what He told them? Are you His disciple? I think it still applies, and I'll tell you why. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In order for the shift to the kingdom age to happen, His will, what's going on in heaven, has to be going on earth at the same time. That's the kingdom age. When we are living on earth just as we would live if we were in heaven. And He didn't mean for us to wait until we're in heaven to live that way. Or He would not have told His disciples to pray in that manner. Would He? I don't think so. If I were to ask you right now, what time is it? I might get an answer of Proverbs 11:30. Some of you that know me would probably answer me Proverbs 11:30 because that says he who saves his souls is wise. But I believe the time right now is the time that we need to be paying attention to the kingdom shift. And when I say kingdom shift, what I'm talking about is it's time that the things of the Spirit are leading us more into seeing the things of the kingdom of heaven manifesting here on earth. Amen? It's time for the old to go away. While it's true that we need to note that it's time to save souls, we also need to pay attention that it's time the church woke up. It's time the church entered, and the people in the church entered into that transition period and let God prepare them for what He wants to do. It's time now that God wants to prepare His church. He's wanted to do it for a long time and we haven't paid attention. But time is growing short. And He's getting more earnest about the preparation. Amen? Have you noticed the headlines? Over the past 6 months, year, have you noticed the ministers that have been exposed? How God is purging His church of those people who are either totally religious or who are not fully imitating His image in the church? How He's getting rid of those that give His name a bad name? Have you noticed that? They're being exposed. They're being rooted out. I believe He's getting ready to turn His church inside out. Amen. He wants to get rid of the religion, the religious structure, the doctrines of men that are in the church, and He wants His Spirit to have free reign. If the church is not founded on the pure Word of God, He's going to uproot it and pull it down. If you don't believe me, go back and read Revelations where John spoke to the seven churches. And read what he wrote to the seven churches. And why he wrote what he wrote to the seven churches. We're still a church of God today, people. And those still apply. Amen? God wants to begin a download. I like that term because I'm a computer geek. God wants to begin a download of new revelation strategies and blueprints from heaven into His church. So that we'll know what heaven is like. So that we'll know what He wants us to do. And we have to push the download button. We have to receive it. You know? We have to reach out and take it, as Lynette said. As Junior said also last night. You have to reach out and take it if you want it. Now, if you don't want it, that's a different thing. But I believe that especially in this church, we all want it. We all want what God wants for us. And if you're out there calling yourself a Christian somewhere else other than this church, I believe you should want it too. Because if you don't, you're not truly a Christian. Because Christian means Christ-like and wanting to do and be like Christ. Amen? He wants to establish His kingdom here on earth, and He can't do it if He can't download His strategies and blueprints into His church, so that we'll use them. That shift is essential so that He can prepare us. We've got to be in tune and listen to Him when He wants to make changes. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the members of His glorious bride. And I want to see Him let the enemy know that what He has ordained for earth is going to take place. And there's nothing, nothing, nothing that the enemy can do about it. He is already defeated and just doesn't know it. Well, I'll tell you, when I was experiencing this spiritual dullness that went on, and that's what I call it, spiritual dullness, because my mind got clouded over, and I realized it was meant to make us, all of us, not just me, less sensitive and unaware of the urgency of this coming hour. Amen? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. And we can read verse 5 too. Yeah, let's read verse 5 too. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now I want to note one thing, especially here. It says the devil is like a roaring lion. It does not say he is a lion. It just says he's on the prowl like one. Because I think in the natural, I might be afraid of a lion. But I can guarantee you in the spirit, I'm not afraid of the devil. Because I know that when I get on my knees and begin to pray, he trembles. I love the way Lynette put that. That even if that every time a child of God, a newborn child of God, begins to pray, the devil trembles. Because he knows that once you begin to pray, you're hooked up with power from on high.
That's right.
Come on. Amen? So, I'm not afraid of no prowling lion. Especially when he's not really a lion. But what I want to point out here is we have to be vigilant. We have to be extremely vigilant in this hour and make sure we remain built up in the faith so that we can stand strong and be alert in our hearts. Because he is out there on the prowl. And he is looking for whom he can devour. I just went through some experiences where he was looking to devour me. But thank God I have the greater one inside who showed me what was going on. And I probably knew it anyways. I just wasn't paying attention. Amen? John chapter 15. Oh, that was good. Hallelujah. God is good, amen?
Amen.
All the time to who?
Me.
That's right, all the time to me. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I want to stop for just a minute. If you know anything about fruit trees, every fall in the orchards, they go out and prune. And pruning is twofold. Jesus even covered twofold. If a branch did not bear any fruit that year, they completely remove it. If the branch bore fruit, they prune back by a third of the length of the branch. And that pruning back by a third causes more fruit buds the following year on that branch and increases the fruit production. But if that branch didn't bear anything, they cut it completely out. It's worthless. What did he say? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them up, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Every transition in life brings confusion. And that's what was going on in my life, transition. And the way he helped me through it is he brought back to my remembrance the transition I went through when I was getting out of the military after spending almost 7 years in the military. If you've ever been in the military, you understand that your life is very structured. You have someone telling you what to do just about 24/7. You know what you have to do, you know how you have to do it, and you know where you're going to do it. You know that you get a paycheck every 2 weeks. You know, it's very structured. And after 7 years, I was leaving the military without a job. I did not know where I would work, where I was, whether I was going to continue to live where I was at, whether we were going to move back to where I came from, how was I going to provide for my family, and it became very stressful. Now, I will admit, at this time, I was not a Christian. And that's the point I made earlier when I said he took care of my family even when I was not a Christian. He showed me where to go. He showed me how to apply for a job. And I ended up working again for the government, only this time as a civilian. And again, I was very secure. Amen. But he showed me, I took care of you. But see, it was difficult because I was going from known security, from knowing I was taken care of, to unknowns. And not knowing my Heavenly Father and knowing that he had provision for me already set aside, I was worried. Amen? See, before God can reveal his plan to you, and what he wants to do to you, what the next step is, he's got to remove from you the old ways. He's got to cut them off. Amen? And that's the pruning that Jesus was talking about here. God comes and he prunes out of your life the things that he wants gone, the things he wants you to quit relying on, so that you become reliant upon him and what he can do for you. And that pruning is designed to draw you into an intimacy with him. But for a lot of people, it does just the opposite because they don't know how to yield their heart to him. Amen? If you'll let him, if you'll yield your heart and you'll let him prune, he will make you more productive. Amen? And that's the same process a fruit tree goes through. Stripping out the old. Because see, the branch there, it's alive, but it's not bearing fruit. It's okay. So it's drawing from the energy of the plant, but it's not producing fruit. That's why they cut it off. If it was producing fruit, then the energy it was drawing would be worthwhile. But by pruning it off, they've cut off that loss of energy there. And by pruning back the one that bore fruit, they've redirected the energy of the plant to the productive areas. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to prune back those unproductive areas, actually lop off the unproductive areas, and prune back the productive areas, and redirect the flow of energy in your life that comes from Him. Amen. This pruning by God causes a purification in us, a purification of our faith in God, and it calls us to step out and walk on that simple childhood faith that we had when we first got born again. Amen? And that, if you can't do that, you're not going to grow. You have to learn to leave the old behind and move on. And for a lot of us, change is a no-no. We hate change. I'm here to tell you, I got my both hands up, I hate change. But I'm also here to tell you that change is good. Especially when it comes from God. Amen? See, our Lord and King, He's raising up. And He's raising up like a mighty warrior. He's getting ready to come and call His army. Because He is going to have dominion on this earth. He is going to establish His kingdom and a dominion that never will end once it's established. And my question to you, because He's inviting us to join Him, is are you willing to pay the price to join Him? Because it's just like going back in the military again. When you join His army and you call Him Lord, what that means is you have surrendered your entire life, your will, your soul, your physical body, to whatever He wants to do with it. Other than that, if you haven't done that, it's lip service. And when you call somebody Lord, go back and watch some of the old English movies. A great one would be Braveheart. A Lord has complete control over you. If they want your life, they take it. So when you call Jesus Lord, be prepared. And I believe everyone in here has called Him Lord. It's not just for salvation, people. It's let Him have your life. Let Him work with it. What does He want to do with it? What does He want to do with you? Now, He's not going to strip away all of your natural things that you do, because He knows, your Heavenly Father knows, what you have need of. But it all, He also said, if you seek Him first, He'll take care of those needs. Amen? So without me realizing it, God was dealing with me. He was bringing out of my past and revealing all the old hurts and emotional wounds and things that I'd suffered over the years. And he wanted to bring them to light to me so that we could get rid of them. He wanted to prune those out. He wanted to lop them off, if you will, and chuck them in the fire. But see, He couldn't just do it. He had to help me see that they had to be dealt with. And so without me knowing it, this is what's went on through all of this last few months of time here. And in doing that, He's freeing me up. He's delivering me from that old stuff, from that past. And He's getting me to a point where I can give Him my future unhindered. Where I can truly say, here I am, Lord. What do you want? I've said that before. My wife and I made that just consecration to Him when we were over at Silverdale Church, and the next day I knew we were in the Philippines. So, you know, if you do it, be prepared, because He may just call you to go somewhere. That's what giving your life to Him means. Amen? He's restoring my childhood, if you will. Back to the point. Not that He's making me a little kid again. He's restoring my childhood in Him back to the point where when I first gave my life to Him, when I first said, Jesus, I make You Lord of my life, He's getting rid of the junk that's came in between then and now so that He can now deal with me as though I was that little child again. Because it's easier to teach a little child how you want them to be before they've got the junk of the world in them than it is after. And some of you parents, You understand what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Amen. Let's go over to Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 5. Let's talk about circumcision. And it's not just for men, ladies. Circumcision from God is for everyone. Now, Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. He happens to use an example of males, but at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way, after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out of Egypt had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. They were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 7, then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day. What he did is he made that circumcision of those born in the wilderness as to be a sign or a remembrance to them that he had taken away the reproach that they had brought with them when they came out of Egypt. All the things they had suffered under the hands of the Egyptians. You know, it was symbolic of their covenant with him. Amen? Well, that was the Old Testament. We have the same symbolic circumcision in the New Covenant. But thank God, he chose to do it a different way. Amen? He chose to do it by the heart this time. And if you'll go with me over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 25. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become as uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as if it was circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills all the law, then judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgression of the law? Talking to Israel. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. See, I'm a Jew in my heart, because I'm a child of God. I've been circumcised in my heart. Amen? God's given us the opportunity to undergo a deep circumcision. It's deep because it's no longer external to the skin. It's of the heart. He wants us circumcised by His Spirit. God wants to cut away the roots of the bondage, the fear, the wounds, the hurts, the lies of the enemy that are been planted in your hearts over the years. He wants to cut that away. He wants to peel back that skin and take it out. Amen? He wants to take us back beyond our battles. Back to our childhood. Not our natural childhood, our childhood with Him. So that He can re-instruct us. So that He can re-guide us where He wants us. Amen? He wants to quiet us and give us rest. Go over to Zephaniah. Ooh, that one might be fun to find. Pages might be stuck together there. Zephaniah. Chapter 3. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. Hallelujah. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let your let not your hands be weak. Verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. We're quieted when we get in His love. We're quieted when we're able to enter into rest knowing that the battle's really the Lord's and that we've already won. See, when you get into that secret place with Him and you begin to woo Him and He begins to woo you, there is no battle. You don't even remember it because it's already won. And you can enter into that rest that He wants you to know. And you, all He's asking us to do is to go back to that childlike faith that we once had. I say once had because most of us over the years are not walking in that same childlike faith. A child believes just about everything its parent tells them without question until they begin to get a little older. But when they're young, whatever you tell them, they believe. We told our son one time that if he wouldn't be quiet, we'd stick his lips in the window. You know what? He believed us. For quite a few years. I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but it worked. So, you know, he took it at what we said, though. Childlike faith. Amen? But God's wanting to open a door of hope for you into this kingdom shift. Let's look at a verse or two in Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 14 in chapter 2. Therefore, behold, I will lure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Israel. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband. And no longer will you call me my master. He's speaking this to Israel. He's speaking it to His people. He's speaking it to me and to you. I've given you a door of hope. And once you enter in there, you will no longer call me master. You will call me husband. See, He's calling His bride. He wants His kingdom here on earth. Amen. And He may be a God of long suffering and a God of patience, but He wants His kingdom here on earth now. If we'll yield ourselves fully to God's pruning this in this season, in this time that's happening, I believe we'll receive a greater revelation of His love than we've ever seen before. I honestly believe that. Not only will we see it, we will experience it. He does not want us just to carry a message to the world. He wants us to be the message. He didn't tell us to go out and witness. He told us to be a witness. Amen? There's a door being opened to us. How long it's going to stay open depends on us. But I believe it's a door that's been opened that no man on earth can shut, that the devil can't shut. It's a door for us, a door of hope, but it's a door for us to be able to see His kingdom come on earth. But we need to prepare ourselves. We need to yield ourselves to Him. Let us finish preparing us. He's luring us right now Himself, wooing us, courting us, like a man would court his bride. Amen? He wants you to step into that secret place with Him. If you don't know how to do that, I pray for you, because once you find that secret place, that's all that matters. Sometimes you get in it and you don't want to come out. Even when you know you have to, even when you know there's things you need to do in the natural, you'll stay just as long as you possibly can. Just like last night when my wife was prayed for and she was out in the spirit, and about four more people got prayed for and the ushers went to pick her up. She was in the secret place. Don't disturb her. Well, she didn't come out just because they picked her up, let me tell you. She didn't come out till she was ready to come out. And she came out long enough to drive home and crawl in bed. And she was still in the secret place this morning. I know. I had to sleep with her. She didn't toss and turn. She didn't get up two or three times during the night. She was still out when I got up this morning. And when I finally called her up because she was called to the phone, she didn't want to go. Because she was still in the secret place. See, you, once you get there and once you've experienced it, you're not going to want to come out. And I believe that this is the most excellent way that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, the walk of love. But you got to experience God's love before you can walk in love. Amen? The journey begins with God drawing us by His Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke to His disciples regarding that drawing by the Father that drew people to come to know Christ. And He said in John 6:44, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and then I will lift him up at the last day." If you aren't drawn to Jesus by the Father, He's not going to lift you up on the last day. Jesus told His disciples that if He was lifted up, He would draw all peoples to Himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "And so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being." Living being. "The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Jesus. Amen. I believe if we receive His love, if we become His bride, He'll do just like He said would happen in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Let's go over there and read it. Most of us look at this chapter as a chapter that deals with husbands and wives and families. Well, if you're the bride of Christ, aren't you family? Aren't you a wife? Verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. I had to start there so that you know that He's talking about the church. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. See, if we draw near to Him, if we submit ourselves to Him, if we allow His love to consume us as His bride, He will cleanse us, sanctify us, purify us, and make us holy so that we can be His bride. James chapter 4. Let's take a look at a James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who moves first? We do. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you do that? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 just told you how. You can't do it. You have to let Him do it when He cleanses the church, by submitting yourself to Him and letting His love take care of you. Amen. And let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10, one last verse. I think I'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 10. See, we're all kingdom potential. I taught that 2 weeks ago. But that potential has to be realized. And it's realized through this kingdom shift that I'm seeing. It's realized by us submitting ourselves to Him and totally yielding our hearts, becoming humble and letting Him make the changes. Let Him put the plan and will in you that He has for you so that He can flow through you. When the Holy Spirit wants to move, are you going to be a dam and stand in the way, or are you going to be a conduit and let Him flow? That's what He wants. He wants us to be a conduit. We of ourselves can do nothing. But when we plug into the power and you grab my hand, I don't want the power to stop in me, because that's not going to feel good. I want it to leave and flow. I remember when my daddy was, when I was younger, we used to go visit my grandparents, and they had electric fences for the pigs. My dad had this nice little trick he liked to do. He liked to get the kids to all grab hands. And we'd walk out there. And I don't know why we were so stupid, because we fell for it more than once. And then he'd grab that fence. Well, the first guy in line doesn't feel anything if it's a DC fence. They have DC and AC fences. It just goes right through him. The last person on the end is the one that gets the jolt, because they complete the ground. See, If you're in God's kingdom, it's basically the other way around. You don't want to be the dam that stops it, because you're going to feel it. You want to be the conduit that it flows through. Actually, that last person on the end, it would be like the dam. That's where it stops. But I want to be a conduit. I want it to flow through me. Amen. I want to do what He says, when He says to do it, where He says to do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Say, I'm rid of Say, I'm rid of
the old way. I have
a new and better way.
His name is Jesus.
Amen. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That day is approaching, people. But before that day happens, His kingdom here on earth is going to happen. Amen. And I want to be a part of it. I want His kingdom established on earth, just like it is in heaven. Because I know in heaven there's no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack. Fruit doesn't even rot when it falls off the tree. Come on.
Amen.
My yard, when the fruit falls off, it still rots. I know the kingdom isn't here yet then. Amen. If we got to keep pursuing Him and pursuing His love, people, His love will never fail. We're the ones that will fail. But if we don't fail, if we pursue Him in His love, we will see His kingdom here on earth. Amen? Glory to God. He's good. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything? I did. Threefold. Times 100. Oh, maybe that's 300%. Praise God. I know that there's times he increases by 1,000-fold. We always read the verses where it's 30, 1,600. But I have found a verse where he does increase by 1,000-fold too. I'll take that. I'll be like Elisha. I want a double portion, please. You know, Elijah got what he asked for. If you go through and look at all the miracles between Elijah and Elisha, he did exactly twice as many. He got a double portion. Why? I'll tell you why he got his double portion. He was persistent. He pressed in. He did not take no for an answer. He was told many, many times, stay here while I go do this. I ain't staying here. I'm going with you. You got the anointing. I'm going with you. He was persistent. I ain't staying here. I'm going where the Holy Spirit's going. Actually, He's right behind me. He follows me usually. Because He's pushing. He leads me by pushing me. I don't lead well. He has to push. Praise God. Well, stand to your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. I said God is good.
All the time.
To who?
Me.
To me. Amen. Hallelujah.